Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At the beginning of today's gospel reading, this is what St. Luke says about Jesus' childhood. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. At the end of the reading, after Jesus is found in the temple as a 12-year-old, St. Luke again says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is our text. How much do we know about Jesus' childhood? About the years of our Lord growing up in Nazareth with Joseph and Mary? We don't know very much. There are some documents written several centuries, a couple of hundred years after Jesus came, and they claim to give us some stories of when Jesus was young, but they don't sound anything like the Jesus whom we know. There are stories about an out-of-control child deity haphazardly trying to harness the power he has, creating birds out of mud so he doesn't get into trouble, and cursing to death friends who bump into him. That's certainly not the Jesus of the scriptures. Someone got a little too creative and mapped their own childhood or the power they wish they had onto our Lord. Those stories do not agree with what the Bible says, and they come from those who want Jesus to be something that he is not. In scripture, all the stories we have about Jesus' childhood, we heard today. 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. Our curiosity would like to know more. What was the child Jesus like? What was it like in Joseph and Mary's household? What's it like raising a perfect child? We aren't told those things. The scriptures aren't written to satisfy our curiosity or to answer every question that we might have. They were written for us that we might know what Jesus has done for us and for our salvation. So that's what the scriptures focus on. That's why the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin mostly, they have a little bit of other material at the beginning, but they mostly begin with the baptism of Jesus and go through his death to his resurrection, his work of salvation. But what we have here in Luke chapter 2, what we heard read today, does tell us something about Jesus. 12 years old and he is in the temple. What is he doing? He is eager to learn. He didn't amaze the teachers in the temple with his questions and answers because he was pulling some secret God-given knowledge out of his back pocket via his divine nature. What we see in Jesus is a 12-year-old boy as 12-year-old boys were meant to be, a true man as men were meant to be, with a mind untainted, unhindered, and unaffected by the ravages of sin. He learns quickly. He learns well. He knows that the temple is his father's house, and he wants to be there. Then after his parents find him and tell him that it's time to go home, you notice that he doesn't resist them. He doesn't protest. He doesn't throw a fit. He doesn't demand his own way. He's submissive to them. He obeys them. Even though, as God, he created them as man, he was placed under their care and under their authority. And so 12-year-old Jesus not only learns eagerly and well, he also stays in God's good order, perfectly fulfilling the fourth commandment, honoring his father and mother, just as he keeps all of the law, every one of the commandments, in our place. Now, we could take a number of things away from this reading. We could take away from this that obedience is really important, and it is, but that's not the main point. We need to dig a little deeper. We need to hear more. Don't overlook that very last line of the reading. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus continued to grow. He continued to learn. He found favor not just with God, but also with men. Because untainted by sin, he was wise, but not proud. He was obedient, but not condescending. He was good, but not arrogant about it. We get a picture of this kind of man as well, not only in Jesus in the temple, but also with King Solomon in today's Old Testament reading. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we learn about how Solomon, being young, although not a child, is on the throne of Israel, and he is offered by God the most amazing gift. Ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And he asked for wisdom, and God gave it. Great wisdom. Wisdom to such an extent that Solomon was known far and wide as the wisest man in the world. Still today, people who know little to nothing about the Bible may speak about the wisdom of Solomon. People came from all over the world to hear such a king, and he found favor with God and man, just like Jesus. But if you know the story of Solomon, you also know that Solomon was no Jesus. Unlike our Lord, who was conceived and born without sin, Solomon had the taint of sin, and it would corrupt his good and perfect gifts. As his life went on, Solomon lost favor with God. He allowed the people and things of this world to lure him into a thirst for power. He allowed them to entice him to other sins, including adultery and idolatry. Though wise, he became foolish. And while still admired by men, he fell away from God. For Jesus, it was exactly the opposite. Untainted by sin, he did not allow the people or things of this world to lure him away from his mission. And what was his mission? To be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To be the Lamb of God who takes away your sins and mine. That was his mission. And because he proclaimed this fact, because he carried out this mission, who he was and what he had come to do, because he didn't say what men thought he should say, or do the things only to make himself popular, Jesus lost favor with men. Solomon went from having favor with God and man to having favor with man, but not with God. Our Lord went from having favor with God and man to staying in God's favor, but losing the favor of men. Though some believed him, many opposed him. And you know where that disfavor with man led: to his cross, the crucifixion. Now, what about you? And what about me? How is it with us? You have been made a child of God in baptism, and you have been given great gifts as well. You've been given also the wisdom of God's word and wisdom in the flesh. You've been given Jesus himself. So how is it with you? Are you more like Solomon? Or are you more like Jesus? Maybe ask it this way: which is more important to you, the favor and admiration of men or the favor of God? Or maybe we could put it this way: what do you fear losing more? Do you fear losing the favor of men, your reputation with others? Or do you fear losing the favor of God? We know what the answer should be. We know what we want the answer to be. But tainted by sin, it's often the Solomon in us that bubbles up. We too often seek the favor of the world instead of the favor of God. Maybe we remain silent when we should speak up. Maybe we hide our beliefs under the excuse of not wanting to offend others. Maybe we go along with the crowd instead of standing up for the truth. Or we love the things of this world a little too much, and we love our God too little. And it's true, isn't it? In some way, some small part for each and every one of us. And if it happened to someone as wise as Solomon, we shouldn't be surprised that it happens to us as well. To new Christians, to longtime Christians, even to pastors, we have been tainted by sin. And we love the favor of men sometimes even more than the favor of God. Jesus in the temple serves not only as an example to teach us, but he also is there to comfort us. When Jesus was in the temple, Joseph and Mary thought that Jesus was lost. He wasn't where they thought he should be. He wasn't playing with cousins or with friends. He wasn't in the camp after that first night of travel. For 3 long days, they searched for him. And when they found him in the temple, he tells them so calmly, I'm sure they were frantic, but he tells those frantic and anxious parents, I wasn't lost. Don't you know that I must be in my Father's house? He wasn't lost. The truth is that Jesus wasn't lost, even when Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. It's we who are lost, and not our Lord. It's we who have wandered away from God. And it is Jesus who came to seek and to save the lost. As we hear this story of Jesus again, as we will hear it this church year, here in 2026, it is Jesus who is always finding the lost. Consider some of the stories that you know in the Bible. He finds the disciples and he calls them to follow him. He finds sinners and forgives them. He finds those whose bodies have been ravaged by sin and death and fallenness, and he heals them. He finds those who are without hope, and he gives them hope. And this is true, perhaps most of all, on that third day, when women came to the tomb searching for his body, when they thought that Jesus was lost, when they thought that he was lost to death and the grave and that it was all over. They came looking for him, and he wasn't where they thought he should be or that he would be. He wasn't there in the tomb where they had left him. And what happens? It's the resurrected Jesus who finds them. It is our Lord, alive again from death and the grave, who seeks out his disciples hiding in the upper room, who finds the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus and opens to them the scriptures, who finds his disciples when they're back at the Sea of Galilee fishing, and he brings them home again. He brings them back home in faith, back home in the forgiveness of sins, back home in resurrection to new life. And you too. This is what we will hear again this year. This is what we can never hear enough, that although Jesus found favor with God, he took our place under the wrath of God. He took our place under the wrath of God for our sinfulness and our foolishness. And he went to the cross, and he gave us his place of favor. This is what Jesus did. He became the foolish sinner, and he made us the perfect sons. He left his place in the Father's house to go to the cross where we ought to be, and now he invites us back into the Father's house, to the place that belongs to him. And he did this to provide for you, to rule you and me with the forgiveness of sins, with the life and wisdom that we need. So we come today a bit like Joseph and Mary. We may not understand everything. We may not get exactly what Jesus is doing in the world or in our lives. We may not know the why or the where or the when. While we do not understand everything, we do know why and where and when he did what he did. Like Mary, we are invited to treasure these things up in our heart, to treasure up all the things that Jesus has done for us, to treasure up the word that we hear, and it will grow. This word, this treasure that of Jesus will grow faith in us, and it will grow wisdom in us, and it will grow mercy and love in us as well, and it will grow in us the new life that Jesus has for us. And when we act and live foolishly, when we seek the favor of men rather than of God, let Jesus grow repentance in us, because that is true wisdom. Wisdom is not just that we have done or will always do everything that is right. True wisdom is to recognize when we have done wrong and to repent of our sins and receive our Lord's forgiveness. True wisdom is not to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to have everything we need in ourselves, but true wisdom is to look to Him for all that we need. Not to look to our own goodness or our own wisdom or our own faithfulness or our own steadfastness, but to rely on the one who is what we could never be and who gives these things to us all that we need, who gives Himself, who gives His word, who gives His forgiveness, who gives His heaven, who gives His very body and blood to feed and strengthen us. The things and the favor of the world come and go, but the favor of God lasts forever. And that's why Jesus is back in the Father's house today, why He is here, right where He has promised to be for us, so that we might live in our Father's house forever as His dearly beloved children. And that is what you are, and this is right where you should be. In Jesus' name. Amen.